Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints, and also welcome to the Micro Effect Network. We're happy to be here to discuss a number of things that you're not going to hear on the mainstream, guaranteed, and you won't hear it on most internet. And anything you'd like to make for a closing comment, because we're...
I'd like to hear what Ken is reading on his electromagnetic sensor. On his smart meter was, he brought it up earlier. Just wondering if he could give a little short synopsis of what he's found.
Okay, he's going to have to do that in about a minute and a half. Ken, are you with us, and can you do that?
Yes, I am. Don, well, what we'll do is I'll just mention that I found out very valuable and important and highly revealing information today that I will be writing about. And obviously, I can't cover the story now. There isn't enough time. But on another show, we'll devote perhaps 30 or 45 minutes, and I'll go into detail of what I found out, and people will be surprised, but they'll also be relieved, because I've also discovered a very effective way to shield against this pollution, I should say, this electronic pollution, even from smart meters. I've had a number of emails about people asking me, what can I do about smart meter? And I'm going to explain to them. So that'll all be upcoming. I'll just briefly say this, that the readings from smart meters are higher than those who are installing them would have us believe. They are certainly not in the safe range whatsoever, as the government and the electric company is trying to have us believe. Far from it. The biggest discovery is today is I went around to a number of houses in the areas. In some cases, I went into the house. And I took readings, and what truly shocked me was the amount of radiation, high-frequency radiation, coming from wireless equipment. It is much higher than the average person suspects, and it is so far above what is considered the safe limit that once you hear what I have to say, once you see the data, once you see the reading on the meter yourself, if you have any intelligence, you're going to get rid of all of your Wi-Fi equipment. This stuff is really dangerous, damaging to your health. And when you actually see how high the readings are, you're going to get rid of it overnight. I have a neighbor here. We did a survey of all her house. She has a wireless router. I was finding high readings throughout the house, but particularly when I got to the floor that had the router, I didn't know at the time she had a router. I said, do you have wireless equipment? I said, yes, I do. Okay, unplug it for me, will you? And when she did, the readings fell down to the normal background level, which is less than 1 microwatt per meter squared. Mm. She fell down to 0.1 microwatts. While the router was on, I'm getting readings 200, 300, 400, 500 microwatts of energy. This is insane. There are German and Austrian magnetic radiation health groups, and one of them is the Austrian government itself. They set the limit, the upper limit, of this high-frequency radiation at 1 microwatt per meter square, one. And I'm getting readings of 2 to 500 in this lady's house.
Yeah. So
this is really a very important story. People have to know just how bad Wi-Fi is.
So it's,
we'll talk about cell phones too when we do the show.
No surprise that my next-door neighbor, is the side where his meter faces my living quarters. And the two houses across the street have got the updated meters. They're the only ones in the area. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, yep. I didn't get one. That said, Ken Adachi from educate-yourself.org and Villanova Star at Livingstone, thank you both for being on the show. I'll have you on later on in the week to discuss some of this incriminating evidence. Thank you for being on, and I'll say goodnight to everyone else. See you all tomorrow. The get-go. And if they bent over far enough to cease the event, they'll hold it elsewhere. It doesn't have to occur at a hotel. That's the whole point. It's as though the only place this can occur is at a hotel. That's crazy. We've debunked it as much as possible. Anything else you want to add here? Because I know I had a lengthy discussion with Ken today about what he wanted to talk about, and it's pretty interesting, but I don't want to steal your thunder.
I wish to go to that topic, too, because it's very, very important to talk about what he found with his rad meter.
Okay. Do you want to preface what he's going to say, or it's up to you?
He had a smart meter installed last week and was able to get his hands on a very sensitive radiation meter made in Germany, a very expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
And he went around the neighborhood testing the various smart meters and found that the radiation coming off of them, it was greater than that which was advertised. But he was really surprised when he started finding more radiation coming from Wi-Fi.
Okay. And so in other words, what you're saying is that although he intended to use this device to basically come up with some fundamental figures that he could work with, he found the figures were far stronger or far more intense than what he had originally anticipated.
Our brains are being cooked by our high-speed internet connection, probably more so than anything else that's around right now.
Now, do you want to be specific about what it is that is doing the cooking, or is it a combination of things?
Well, it's a combination of things, of course, cell phones. You also have your cordless phones on a different frequency, and you have cell phone towers. You have your laptop computers attached to various Wi-Fi systems and 3G systems and 4G systems. So there's radiation going out in all directions. What Ken described yesterday and this afternoon on the phone call was that he was getting like 200 microwatts per square meter of radiation off of a Wi-Fi unit. He doesn't have one in his place, but he encountered a neighbor's place.
Yeah.
Yes. If I can just begin by just clarifying for listeners, when ZS refers to radiation, there is no reference to nuclear ionizing radiation. That's not the type of radiation. Anytime you transmit any sort of radio frequency signal or some device transmits this, it is properly called a radiation of EMF, but of course, the majority of people connect the word with nuclear ionizing radiation. So mm-hmm. I'll make that clear that we're not talking about nuclear ionizing radiation. We're talking about the transmission of radio frequency wave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week in my area, I'm in Southern California, the local electric company has been installing smart meters in residents throughout California for many months, and they got here last week. And they just tell you a couple of weeks in advance that you're soon to get your smart meter. And it seems here, at least in California, it doesn't matter whether you call them up and say, I don't want it. They force it on you anyway. I think someone needs to put together a lawsuit, force the electric companies to remove those or people who don't want them, because they are a health hazard, although the government and the electric company says there's no hazard whatsoever. But that's nothing new. The government has always played down health hazards of electromagnetic radiation, whether it's from power lines at low frequency or high frequency microwaves that we're talking about today. I had a friend who's sensitive to the energy. When the meter was installed, it came down and she could detect the intensity of the radiation, and she was giving me some idea of what she was feeling and how it was affecting my home here and the other homes in the area. We walked around there. My area here and was checking. She was able to obtain a fairly sophisticated high-frequency analyzer meter. It's made in Germany by a company called Gigahertz Solutions. And the meter that I have, if someone wants to obtain one, can be obtained from you can get it from the company that carries this product directly, safelivingtechnologies.ca, which I guess is a Canadian outfit. She obtained it from a website called lessemf.com. It's a well-known website that has a lot of equipment for detecting and shielding against electromagnetic pollution, thus the name of the website. So everything there is sort of on the expensive side. Nothing's really cheap, but they're not unreasonable either. This meter that I was able to use, they have different models, but this one is the HF35C HF analyzer, standing for high frequency. It can measure radio frequencies from 800 megahertz up to and actually slightly over 2.5 gigahertz. 2.5 gigahertz is the same thing as saying 2500 megahertz. So the smart meters that I wanted to get a measurement on are transmitting in the upper gigahertz range, I'm estimating, but based on the chart that I'm looking at, it seems to be around 1.7, 1.8 gigs, somewhere in that area. It might be a little bit higher. Wi-Fi that is used for computers and so forth, according to this chart that I'm looking at here, tends to be in the 2.2, 2.3 gigahertz range. So your typical wireless router, for instance, that you might use in your house, apparently, based on what I'm reading from this chart here, is transmitting in approximately the 2.3 gigahertz range. Now, this group of frequencies is very short wavelength, so we refer to them as microwaves because the wavelength is quite short. The shorter the wavelength is of an electromagnetic wave, the more easily it can penetrate things. When it's a very long wavelength, for instance, you AM radio station, 600 kilocycles, for instance, the wavelength of one individual cycle at 600 kilocycles is quite long. And if you have a metal barrier that has openings in it that are shorter, let's say, then the wavelength of the signal, the signal can't penetrate through that screening, for instance. However, if you have microwaves in which the wavelength is very short, down to millimeters in length, then even if you have a reasonably fine mesh screen, if it's longer than the wavelength of that microwave, the microwave will go right through the screening. We have to bear this in mind. Microwaves can penetrate lots of things.
Yeah, we think that primarily that the waves themselves, the microwaves, are to be used with this equipment, but that's not necessarily all that's being penetrated. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And the transmitters which emit these waves do not do it in a straight line. It radiates at radial. It radiates as a sphere from the transmitter point. So just imagine this sphere of energy that starts at the tip of the antenna of whatever transmitter is, and then it radiates out like a ball, and it expands outward. So at whatever frequency it is, that's how rapidly that the wave is undulating.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever amount of time that transmitter is turned on, that is what's referred to. If it's just a short burst, then we call that a pulse of energy. And that pulse might be very short. It could be in microseconds,
mm-hmm.
or it could be longer. It might be 500 milliseconds, for instance. But very often, this data is sent as pulse packages of data that do not require a long transmission time. So they're sent out as pulses, but they can be a very short duration. Now, the meter that I have forward is able to detect the amplitude of these waves, even though they might be only for a very short pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And give me a readout. The readout that it gives me is in watts, but because the energy coming from these microwave transmitters, such as a smart meter, I was saying that microwaves can penetrate so well, you don't need much power to send a microwave signal many, many miles. It takes very little power. This is one of the reasons they choose these very high frequencies, is because the higher the frequency, less power it takes transmitted over a longer distance, the better the penetrating power is, the shorter the wavelength is.
So is it possible that the signal is actually being read elsewhere, even though it's emanating near the home and in?
Yes, the signal is being picked up from a reception platform or station some distance from the meters. I don't know yet where Southern California Edison has their receiving locations, but they must be some considerable distance, yet the microwave signal, because the burst of energy that I measured was so high, it could easily travel many, many miles. I'm reading bursts of energy that truly surprised. I expected to see lower wattage output from these units, and I saw figures much higher than I had expected. The meter that I'm using has two scales on it. One scale will read up to, well, not quite, but almost 200 microwatts. Well, actually, the meter is rated at 199.9. Then there's a second scale that's 10 times attenuated. So the second scale will read up to 1,999 microwatts. Now, let's call it 2,000 microwatts is the equivalent of 2 milliwatts. 200 microwatts is the equivalent of 0.2 milliwatts. We're used to radio stations. Oh, we hear about a 50,000-watt transmitter. When you're talking about microwaves,
the total that an animal,
it takes much less power. So even 100 milliwatts of microwaves will travel a very long distance compared to 100 milliwatt an AM station, for instance. FM travels farther because it's a higher frequency, but it doesn't travel nearly as far as microwaves. They have receptor sites that are picking up these signals that are being beamed from these smart meters that are being installed in houses. And undoubtedly, there's many of them, I'm sure, but it's not like they're within a few blocks of our location here. I'm quite convinced they're some miles away, yet they can pick up the signal. I'm picking up a very strong pulse. It doesn't last long. I can't measure the width of the pulse, but they come on about every 2 to 2.5 minutes. I had my watch out and I was counting. The signal would drop to essentially background noise level, which is very low. It's like 0.2 microwatts. And then when the pulse comes, the meter will peg. It's a digital meter, but it goes, I had it originally on the more sensitive position when I was first reading, and then I was realizing I've got to put it to the more attenuated scale just so I can see where the numbers go, and it even pegged that. I was getting readings about 6 feet away from a smart meter that exceeded 2 milliwatts of radiated energy. That is a lot of power.
That is enormous.
Equivalent and probably exceeding the energy that comes off cell phone towers.
Mm. Now, okay, that's in more than one location that you found this, right?
Yes. All the residents here, I'm in a complex. There's a lot of condos in this area. They all had their meters replaced. So there's typically 3 or 4 or sometimes 5 meters inside one location, 4 or 5 condo units. So each of these meters is separately transmitting. So there's a separate pulse coming out every 2 or 2.5 minutes from each of these units, I presume. Now, it could be that all the data is gathered from the 4 meters, for instance, and there is a central transmitter that's sending a burst with the data from each individual meter. That could well be the case, because I did
mention
about two and a half minute interval between these pulses.
Uh-huh.
However, it's the amount, this is happening 24 hours, 7 days a week, every 2 or 2.5 minutes, this baby is pulsing every one of these units, where every 2 minutes, we're getting this sphere of radiated energy coming from each of these meters.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this installation, these were analog meters that just had dials going around, no radiated EMF whatsoever. Mm-hmm. A man came once a month, looked at the meter, wrote down the numbers, and went on to the next meter.
Yeah.
They're supposedly installing this to eliminate the meter reader.
There's a lot going on then.
There's a lot going on. We are being essentially victimized by something that is harmful to our health. We, consumers, are not given any choice in this matter. We're simply being told we're going to change your to your meter. So something has to be done on the legal, political front.
Yeah, we've got to take a break. I hate to cut you off. We've got to take a break in a couple of minutes here. You're listening to the Evident Footprints radio show on the microeffect.com. And our guests, Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone, and I, Don Nikoloff, will be back shortly. Don't go away. But we're talking about the living years. We're alive right now, and we don't like what's going on with us. We're talking with Ken Adachi, who's revealing his findings in Southern California regarding these smart meters that are put on people's houses. They're supposed to manage the energy that you're using. The readings are off the charts. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Don.
Did I do okay in summarizing what we've been talking about?
Oh, yes, of course. The generic purpose of the smart meter is to transmit a digital electronic signal at a very high frequency range, up in the gigahertz range, which is referred to as microwaves, to the electric company, which is picked up by a receiver and transmitted and relayed to the electric company since the computers. And they could monitor how much electricity you're using really minute by minute. In doing so, besides knowing how many watts you use per month, it will no longer be necessary to send out a meter reader because they are getting the info electronically. Now it's transmitted to them from your meter. But also they can see the pattern of electricity usage. It's giving them information about how you're using your electricity, which is telling them, will tell them many things. They'll tell them the type of appliances you use, the type of electronics you use, how often lights are on. This is, they will, of course, spin this in a some sort of positive fashion that supposedly going to be a benefit to us. But it's telling them more about how you are living in your home. Another example of data mining.
Mm-hmm.
And they have ulterior motives for data mining because the ultimate goal is to control every human being on the planet.
Yeah, that's undoubted. Now, let's get to some facts here in the remaining minutes that we have in this.
Okay. Episode. Well, the first fact I have to emphasize is that I forgot to mention it in the opening, is that the upper limit recommended, there's a pamphlet that came with this meter, and they reference two organizations. One is a German environmental NGO with the acronym of Bund, B-U-N-D. I could try to pronounce the German word here, but I won't. This German environmental group, recommends a upper limit of 1 microwatt per meter square as the upper limit for indoor or outdoor. And there's a second group, an Austrian health authority. I'll try to pronounce this one. This is Landessanitätsdirektion Salzburg. Made a recommendation in 2002 that they felt that the upper precautionary limit for exposure is 1 microwatt per meter square for indoor situations. So when I take a reading outside of a smart meter, which is most cases the meter is attached to a compartment next to the garages, that's actually part of the exterior of the garage, I'm getting readings that exceed 2,000 microwatt per meter square. That's happening about every 2 minutes.
2,000 times enough.
2,000 times above the upper limit that is recommended by these environmental groups for exposure for humans, animals, etc. Now, a second thing I noticed in examining the...
I have to repeat that. So
yeah, right.
2,000 times.
Higher than the upper limit recommended for exposure in these frequency range of living things from microwave energy. Yes, 2,000 times higher.
Well, animals, plants, whatever
yeah,
you have
lived. Yes, particularly animals are affected. We have neurological disturbances that take place from this being exposed to this energy. Hormonal disruptions take place. There's many brain disruptions in the neurotransmitters in the brain that get adversely affected by microwave energy.
And you're saying now, every couple minutes, this is...
There's a pulse of this 2,000 plus microwatts, or again, I don't know the pulse width, probably less than a second, but occurring every 2 minutes. We're having this shock pulse of this very high energy every 2 minutes. And of course, unless you shield against it, it penetrating as a radial sphere in all directions, all sides, and above the transmitter. And because it's very high frequency, it can penetrate walls. It can penetrate wood. It can penetrate. Some things slow it down. Stucco slows it down. It will not stop. It lowers the amount of watts that you'll get on the other side of the wall slightly. Sheetrock has minerals in it, lime, whatever.
Yeah, but if they're putting this meter, which is probably generating the frequency that is picked up in the house, virtually wherever anything connects to that meter is receiving the energy at some level.
The meter is radiating in all directions in a spherical manner.
So
the back of the meter, if it's facing the house, the energy is going through the wall into the house, okay, and then going through everything in the house and out of the house.
Yeah, there's also energy then that would conceivably go out the front of the unit if it's 360 degrees that it's Correct. Coming out and Right. go into the neighbor's house as well.
Absolutely. But what we have is 3 or 4 meters that are stacked up. They're all pulsing this energy, unless it comes from a central transmitter. I'm not sure at this point whether it's each individual meter. The meters are set up to be an individual discrete transmitter, but when they're arrayed like that, it's possible they are taking the signal and just creating the pulse from one central point, but it's still at that location.
Mm-hmm.
There is a concern and danger from these smart meters. We need to shield against this so that the where the energy is radiating towards places where people and animals are into the living space, we have to create a shield to lower that energy to down to the safe range. It's not too hard to do that, but it needs to be done.
That's one option. What about getting the original meters put?
Well, that is the more desired solution. This is going to take a big political fight. It's going to take lawsuits against the state for sanctioning it and against the electric companies for installing them. Eventually, if enough political activist pressure is created through lawsuits, this smart meter thing can be reversed completely and we'll go back to analog meters and we'll go back to a meter taker coming out there once a month and taking a reading. That is the more ideal answer. To completely divorce ourselves from this technology. In the interim, this might take years to happen, Don. In the interim, you must protect yourself and your family from this energy. So we must shield until the happy day comes when we'll get rid of these damn things. Now, a second thing I discovered in going around, inspecting the outside of houses, I was finding that wireless routers, wireless equipment, puts out a great deal of this energy that is as high as the microwave energy that was coming from the pulse of energy, but it's steady. Outside of people's homes where there was a router on the other side of the wall, I'm getting 2,000 microwatts readings and higher. Many of them were in the 100 range, in the 5, 6, 7, 800 microwatt range, but others, different routers have different energy levels. So if you got a router that's advertises super duper, it'll reach everywhere, super wonderful, it'll pick up all these signals, yeah, generating a very high amount of this energy. In this case, these people are not only getting the pulse from the smart meter, but their entire living space is being inundated with 500, 800, 1500, 2000 microwatts of this energy continuously coming from that wireless equipment. I went to a neighbor's house, a young woman, young married couple. They want to have children. I measured the energy right on top of her bed. And it was something like 400 microwatts right on her bed. I says, you are absolutely being bathed in very damaging high-frequency microwaves here. I says, do you have a wireless router? Oh, yes, we do. I said, okay, let's try an experiment. Unplug it. She did, and then the reading fell down to 0.1 microwatt over her bed. When she saw that, her eyes opened like a couple of saucers. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. And I told her, first, she owned the unit, I says, you don't need wireless anything. I says, you can get somebody come in here, drill holes into the wall, through snake a cable from your downstairs router, wired router, make an Ethernet cable up here, and just put an outlet right here on the wall and plug in with an Ethernet. I says, if you want to have children, you're going to take a big chance on damaging your fetus if you're actually getting pregnant and your pregnancy is going on while you're being bathed high energy fields for the whole time you're pregnant. I said,
yeah, you're not even talking about the rest of the people either. I mean,
right. So she became a believer in about 5 seconds because of the reading she saw with her own eyes in that meter. So what I want to emphasize for the people who are hearing this recording is that if you have wireless energy, anything, if you have wireless keyboard, wireless mouse, wireless router, do yourself a favor, you and everyone living in your house, stop poisoning yourself with this wireless stuff, get rid of it, and return to hardwired computer or your printer or your computers, just use Ethernet wiring and get rid of anything that's wireless, because if you wish to buy or rent a meter or arrange to have somebody come out there and take the readings, you will be floored with what you see. The industry plays down this danger. When they report these numbers, they don't use peak readings as I did. They use what's called RMS reading. Oh, that's a cute game. RMS stands for root mean square. It's a measurement that is used in electronics and electricity to give us the average voltage of a changing AC signal, a alternating current signal.
Yeah.
So it gives us an average. When you're talking microwave, which is going from 0.2, a sudden pulse goes to 2,000 microwatts, and then it comes back to 0.2. What's the average going to be? Well, it's going to be all of 0.7. Is that a true reflection of the energy you're getting? No way. But this is the figure, the RMS figure, is what the industry uses, the people who sell the routers. This is the figure that the government points to when they say, oh, there's no danger here. Well, look, it only has an RMS output of 1.2 microwatts or 3.5. They're giving you RMS. We are always being deceived by the government, and people need to remember this 24 hours a day. The government does nothing but lie to us about everything. And the only way you're going to find out is to find out yourself and find out from those whose opinions you can trust. And in this case, it's easy enough to measure it yourself.
Now, animals, dogs especially, I think dogs even more so than cats, have a wide frequency response to their hearing. And their hearing basically begins, although they do hear or speech, they don't hear a lot of the low frequency, and they go several octaves above us. You could say three octaves above the average human being's hearing is, you know, we're talking in the 45,000 hertz range. That certainly has to have some impact on animals as well.
Well, I would think, of course, the animals can't hear this. It's entirely too high, but the animals generally can perceive subtle energies better than humans can. So if you have Wi-Fi, for instance, I can't guarantee this is the case, but if you have a sensitive animal, he'll probably go to a room that's the farthest removed from the Wi-Fi router. If you're noticing this in your home or a cat, for instance, they're pretty sensitive. If you're noticing this, that should tell you, get a meter or borrow a meter or rent a meter. It's possible that enough people become aware of this. People could pool their money and get a meter, and they could rent it or somebody. In fact, somebody can get into do a job of just going around measuring people's energy levels at their homes and make a job out of it. Ask people for 15 or 20 bucks and go in their home and give them the readings. You will discover that wireless anything is very damaging. The energy's far too high. Remember what I said, readings were as high, not all, but some of the readings went over 2,000 microwatts. None of them were less than 500 or 600 or 700.
Wouldn't you like to be on the other side where they're actually collecting all this information and just observe what they do to protect themselves, if they do at all?
What I would think is that where the information is being transmitted is probably eventually going via cables into computer systems. So those people aren't getting any radiation per se. The people who are being exposed are the residents that have these smart meters. Because we're running out of time, I'll just make this short. I'll be writing an article about this. I'll show photos. I'll show a video so you can see yourself how the reading spiked to over 2,000 microwatts right there. See the meter just 6 feet away. I'm holding the meter in my hand. I'm videotaping it with my cell phone. And you'll be able to see exactly what I'm explaining here.
And we're talking now, a difference of a tenth of a microwatt all the way up to at least 2,000.
Yes, yes. In some cases, it's pegging the meter. Now, the meter only goes up to 2,000 microwatts. So if I get an overage indication of meter, it means it went above that, but I don't know how high it is. So this is serious business. Now, to shield.
We got to do this rapidly. So
okay, I'll just be very rapid about this. the shield two ways. There's many ways, but this is two easy ways. You can buy 48-inch wide, 25-foot long aluminum screening at Home Depot or Lowe's. It's about $23 or $24. In the area behind the meter, in my case, it's garages, but the area behind the meter, try to create a wall. Closer to the meter is, the less wide and high the wall has to be.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine a sphere of energy coming off, and imagine in your mind's eye how you create a very wide wall of screening, staple it to the wall. There's many use furring strips. There's all kinds of ways to attach aluminum screening. It's mm-hmm. pretty easy to do. After you've attached wide enough screening that will block the sphere, this radial sphere of radiating energy, you want to ground the aluminum wire. It will block it without grounding, but grounding really sends the energy right into the earth instead of circulating in the wire. Use heavy gauge wire for grounding. There isn't any current to speak of, so to get a good ground, heavier gauge the wire is, the better the ground is. If you have a cold water pipe that's a metal pipe, not plastic, it's a metal pipe going into the ground, get a clamp, same metal as the pipe. If the pipe's copper, get a copper pipe clamp. If the cop's pipe is brass, get a brass clamp. And get yourself a heavy gauge. Ideally, if you can get number 6 or 8 stranded wire, you can get it at Home Depot. And weave your wire. One way to do it is weave it a number of these single strands.
Got to speed this up. So
into the aluminum and then ground it to a cold water pipe. You can also drive a copper rod directly into the earth if that's more convenient for you, at least very minimum of 2 feet, and make your clampings very secure and tight. Second thing is, and I'll stop with this, is that you can get something at sporting stores and camp fly stores called a first aid thermal blanket made out of Mylar. It's about 4.5 feet by 7 feet when you unfold it. It's also called an emergency blanket. Typically, they're $3 or $4. It's made of Mylar, which is a plastic, and it has aluminum that is electronically deposited onto one side of it.
Okay, Ken, we're going to have to end this.
We'll pick up the shielding on the next show then.
Okay. I hate to cut it off.
No, I understand. The show is over.
You're also waiting in the background there. I want to thank you for your participation, both of you. Certainly check out the website, educate-yourself.org. We're going to talk about this more in the coming days, I'm sure. In the meantime, stay tuned. We've got another show for you tomorrow night again here. And peace to everyone. That said, I'm going to continue the broadcast that we began last night and invite back two dear friends. One is in Southern California and hosts a website called educate-yourself.org. His name is Ken Adachi. Ken, are you with us?
Yes, thank you, Don.
Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and bring on guest number two. He is in between Vancouver and Calgary, Canada. Smack dab in the middle. His name is Zernova Star Livingstone. Yes, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Welcome to both of you. There's been a lot of news, a lot of touching base with people out there. I want to let both of you know that I have been in touch with the United Galactic Federation this evening, and they are paying attention, close attention, to what we're going to talk about tonight. I think we're all on the same page. We sense something is about to happen this month. We'll get into that a little bit later, or as soon as either one of you want to bring it up. There are a number of issues that we're going to talk about, and I'm also going to include my own impressions on what may be happening. For sake of argument, Ken, do you want to start out? You're welcome to hand off the baton at any time. So.
Okay, thank you. Last night, I got into a discussion concerning the concerns that I'm having about microwave energy that's being brought to our residents, places where we live, via the installation of smart meters by electric service providers. Here in California, we have a company called Southern California Edison. that has been installing smart meters throughout most of California. And last week, we had one installed in the area we live in, as well as all the other houses adjacent to us here. I mentioned yesterday that I know a person, a woman who's sensitive to this energy, and I asked her to come over to see what she could sense. And she, as soon as she got here and got inside my house, she picked up the energy right away. So she went from room to room, and she found areas where it was stronger and less. And then we went to the front and the back of the house. And then we went out to where these smart meters are. A couple days after that, she was able to loan me a high-end German high-frequency analyzer meter to take a reading, a direct reading in microwatts of the energy coming off within the frequency range that smart meters are putting out energy. I mentioned this yesterday, and I said that this meter that I'm taking these readings with can detect the energy from RF, which stands for radio frequency, from 800 megahertz up to 2.5 gigahertz, even at very low levels. And it could even reach as high as 3.3 gigahertz if the signal is strong enough. Focusing on the smart meters, I took readings in front of the meters, behind the meters, some considerable distance from the meters. And I'm finding out that the meters indeed put out a very high intensity signal, which is transmitted about every 2 or 2.5 minutes. It's a sudden pulse of energy. It's not a continuous signal, but when this pulse is transmitted, it's quite high. It caused the meter to go to the very highest reading the meter is capable of. So that should be of concern to us, because this signal carries considerable distance because the frequency is so high and it's radiating in all directions from the meter. So we want to be concerned, as long as we have to put up with these meters, about shielding homes from penetration by these microwaves. I couldn't finish it yesterday, but I'll briefly say that if you have a smart meter, or you're getting smart meters, or you soon will have smart meters, you have to install shielding behind the meter. In our case, the meters are in panel boxes that are attached to the garages, to the parking areas. You can get to the wall behind the meter. What you want to do is you want to, there's different screening materials you can use, but aluminum screening, which is not very expensive, can be purchased in 48-inch wide rolls, which is 4 feet, by 25 foot long. And it's not too expensive. It's around 23 or 24 bucks at Home Depot. And what you would do is you would cut the screening to not only cover the area behind the meter, but to go up to the ceiling of the structure, for instance, go all the way down to the floor, and then go out for a number of feet on either side of the meter so that you can be sure to block the rays from any direction that's behind the meter. The closer you are to the meter, the less wide the shielding has to be. If you're farther removed from the meter, then your shielding has to cover a much wider area in order to collect the energy from the meter.
Is that because, pardon me for interrupting, but is that because of the way that this meter transmits the information over a long distance?
Okay, this is the reason. Where the meter is located, energy is being radiated in all directions radially. What that means is that the energy is coming off the meter in a sphere shape. So it's going straight up, it's going straight down, it's going in all degrees of the horizon, coming out as a pulse. So just simply imagine a ball of energy around sphere, around the meter, that expands and radiates outwards as long as the energy is being transmitted.
And how far are we going?
Well, the thing is that if you were, let's use an example. Let's say your wall was 6 inches behind the meter. The spread out of the rays being only 6 inches from your shielding would be limited. So your shielding could be rather small. Perhaps even where 3 by 3 or 4 by 4 feet would be sufficient to, because the meter is so close to you that the rays don't have the chance to spread out very much. But if it was 10 feet away from you, if you put such a small shield 10 feet away from the meter, you're going to get a lot of the energy that's going to arrive on either side above and below your shield because as the rays emanate out, they're spreading, the distance between the ray beams are getting wider and wider with every inch of space that it has to traverse. What's happening is the angle of the beam, which are radially projected, small dimensions, is getting wider. If you were 10 feet behind the meter, you'd probably have to shield the entire width of the wall so that as these rays are coming, they're spreading wider and wider. And in order to catch them, to prevent them from entering your home into the living space, you'd have to make your screening wider and wider. If you draw this out on paper, you would see, and then just simply use radial lines to symbolize the rays coming off the meter. You'll see that if you're close to the meter, it takes a small area to block a wide arc of rays.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're far from the meter, now the blocking, the shielding has to be much wider to catch all the rays that are heading in the direction of the wall, which you're trying to prevent.
Yeah.
So
I want to get into that. We're coming up on break time here.
Okay.
But I want to get into what information or what type of rays are actually coming in. Okay, if you can think of that until we come back. You're listening to Evident Footprints on themicroeffect.com, and we'll be back in a few moments. It's about half of Automats, I think, an appropriate song by the Yellow Jackets. Boy, when I think about what Ken Adachi is talking about here and what I know and what I suspect is going on, we are either in for one hell of a treat or we have to stand up and demand a stop to this. Now, Ken, you were going into some detail about the structure of this microwave system and how to go about protecting oneself from it. And I brought up a few points because there is a lot of data mining and data gathering that's going on. Is that correct?
Yes, that is part of it. But what I'll do is I'll just address the question you raised before we went to the break. When I'm talking about the rays, I'm using a generic term for radio waves. I interchangeably use the word rays, R-A-Y-S, with radio waves. Smart meters, as all microwave transmission equipment, are transmitting standard radio frequency waves. In this case, though, the frequency is so high that we give them a special name. We call them microwaves. The wave itself is what is called in physics a transverse electromagnetic wave. Everyone has seen a picture of what a sine wave looks like. It looks like an S laying on its side, and typically we see this on an oscilloscope pattern, and we know how the wave gradually rises up to the top of the arc, and then it slopes down, goes through the zero line, and goes through the reverse downward plunge, and comes back up. So it kind of looks like an S laying on its side.
Mm-hmm.
That's a standard sine wave. The shape is what we call sine wave. Now, if we had equipment that could cause 600,000 of those waves to be generated in the space of 1 second, we would call that a 600 kilocycle generator. And that frequency can be transmitted, and we could use it to send radio signals. So AM radio's frequency range starts at about 570 kilocycles or so and goes up to about 1400 or 1500 kilocycles at the other end. Now, a much higher frequency, let's say the FM radio, I can tune in 88 FM radio, that's occurring in the megacycle range, and the number of those sine wave oscillations now is much greater. When we get into microwave, I'm talking about 2.3 gigahertz. That's saying the same thing as 23,000 million cycles per second, 23,000 million cycles occurring in the space of 1 second. That's what 2.3 gigahertz are. What I can do is when the frequency is that high, it's easy to transmit that signal because the wavelength is so very short. It will travel a great distance with just a little bit of energy behind it. That's why they use these high frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
It takes much less transmitting power than low frequency radio wave. Now, the frequency itself acts as what we call a carrier. It allows a signal that has other information on it. It could be speech, it could be radio, talk, it could be music, it could be data, it could be telemetry, but data that's added on top of a carrier wave. And then at the reception end, they strip away the carrier wave, they remove the 2.3 gigahertz carrier, and you're just left with the what's called the demodulated signal, which is the audio signal, for instance, from talk or music, etc. In the case of the smart meters, they're not transmitting voice, they're transmitting telemetry data, probably digitally, which means instead of a sine wave, we're getting a bunch of on and off, very rapid on and off signals that are emulating the gradual rise of a sine wave, but actually they're going on and off very rapidly. The advantage of that system is that you get almost no noise in the transmission, and the signal is usually quite clean. That's why the digital video picture looks better than an analog picture.
Now, you raised several points there, because one would have to ask, why do they need to send themselves the audio version of what's going on in the apartment or in the house?
Well, they're not. I was just using the audio as a way to explain to people the analogy of a carrier wave with radio, you know, ordinary listening radio. I just wanted to make it clear that the signal itself is a transverse electromagnetic waves. All conventional radio signals are transverse electromagnetic waves. Now, there are other types of wave energy, which Tesla discovered, which we won't discuss here, but this technology and everything conventional electronics only refers to transverse electromagnetic waves. What we're concerned about is that this very high frequency energy has damaging effect on living systems. And the higher the power of them, power in electronics is a product of voltage times current, standard Ohm's law. I times V equals P. P is power expressed in watt. And the reason we're complaining and worried about this is that these transmitters now are sending out pulses of relatively high wattage output. 2,000 microwatt per meter square is 2,000 times higher than what a German and an Austrian environmental group have recommended as the upper limit of human exposure. They place the limit of 1 microwatt of energy in this frequency range as the upper limit of exposure. These guys with these smart meters are beaming everyone who's within receiving radius, or the effective radius of these meters, are receiving 2,000 microwatt in a burst of energy that lasts for a short period of time, but it's happening every 2.5 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why I'm raising the issue. It's an outrage that public is being force-fed these smart meters. We have no say in them at all. The government is just going along with the electric companies. They're just stuffing these down our throat. As usual, they're lying through their teeth. No problem. No safety issue. Perfectly safe. Everything's fine. Wonderful. Oh, my God. Are we getting sick of hearing the same old song for the last 50, 60 years that we've been poisoned time after time after time with new technologies?
There's no reason for that signal to appear other than to interfere. That's obvious. And these systems run as low as, 100th to 200th of, we're not even talking about the decimal point. We're to the right of the decimal point, 2 digits.
Microwave energy is so effective. Let's say for cell phone communications, just to give you an idea of how well microwave energy can penetrate. Your cell phone reception, if you were to put a meter, and even if you were relatively far from a signal power, you would still get clear reception even if your signal was as low as 0.01 microwatt.
Mm-hmm.
You could still talk and hear the other party perfectly clear.
Yes.
So these smart meters, for the convenience of the electric company, so they don't have to send out a meter reader, and undoubtedly to increase the distance of transmission, are forcing homeowners to be subjected to this very high spike of pulsed energy every 2.5 minutes.
What's occurring at that time?
Well, they're sending out a packet of information on that carrier signal during that burst period. Because this isn't speech or it's not music, this is data that will go into a computer which will register how much current is running through that household at that moment, what the current drain is, etc. So they can monitor exactly how much electricity is being used. And because certain appliances have a known, they have a known record that refrigerator goes on, they know it's going to draw this much current for this long. When computers or TVs are on or when light bulbs are on, they're going to draw so much current. So there's certain characteristic, current characteristics to each appliance. And now they've worked out computer system models that can analyze it. So they know when the electric company will know when you turn on a light switch, the bathroom. They will know that it is different from turning on your television. They will know that it's different when your refrigerator cycles on or when you turn on your electric stove. In other words, they will now be aware of how much current you're drawing, and because they've already studied the characteristics of household appliances and so forth, they will know which appliances are drawing the current.
Now, why, just to get down to the nitty-gritty here, why is that information important to them? Bottom line is, if I'm paying my electric bill, they should care.
Yeah, right. So there's another agenda that's deeper. There's an ulterior motive that's not being discussed here. I'm guessing at this point, okay, this is just surmising on my part. Mm-hmm. But I'm presuming the same reason they wanted to get people to sign up for those loyalty cards at grocery stores is that when you check out, if they know your name, address, and so forth, they are they're monitoring what you're buying in a grocery store. Why are they doing that? Because they're gathering data that they're going to use to ultimately exert greater control over you and your life. So they want to know what sort of videos you rent from Netflix. They want to know how much gasoline you buy at the pump. This is data mining. They want to know where you go to school, what kind of courses are you taking. The more the government knows about all vectors of your life, about all areas, social, you name it, medical history, et cetera, the more easily you are liable to be manipulated. Here we have another way the government, working through electric companies, are data mining our electricity usage. This tells the government things about you. It'll tell them how often you're watching television in your house. It tells them how often you turn on the radio, how often you're cooking, etc. This may seem completely irrelevant, insignificant, but it's obviously significant to them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be interested in collecting this data. So the cover story is, oh, we don't have to send out the meter man and will be able to help you. It's always the BS story that they want to help us.
Mm-hmm.
They're forever telling us how they're doing it because they want to help us. I mean, I'm just so fed up with crap, you know?
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're assisting the New World Order to take over this country so they can control the population to the point that we have a completely enslaved society. That's what the game is all about. Is what I've been writing about on my website for the past 14 or 15 years. And today in November of 2011, the agenda is far more advanced than it was 15 years ago when I started to put up a website.
Now, take a breath, take a breather, and let's get a little bit of input from Z.S. Livingstone here. I'm sure you won't mind. Z.S., are you with?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going through those figures and the amount of energy that the smart meters are putting out. And I'm comparing with information which I received in the 1990s regarding satellite dishes, the old C-band satellite system, which now being discontinued, from Hughes solar-powered relay stations on the Clark orbiter, or the geosynchronous orbit, 22,600 miles above the equator, that each of the channels was being broadcast to Earth at 30 watts from 22,000 miles, and a 10-foot dish was able to gather, well, it could be, we're depending on where you're on the planet, and depending on the intensity of the footprint broadcast from the satellite, because they were, the ones over America, over the equator, south of America, were broadcasting their footprint into the 48 states, mainly, and with a lobe going off Alaska and Hawaii. And that was 30 watts, and you're able to receive a clear signal from space, a full picture on through cable systems, of course, boosted every few hundred yards, but you're able to. Now, with the small dish, you're using, again, 30 watts, and then you're able to pick up that signal on an 18-inch to 24-inch dish, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the billionth of a watt, a nanowatt signal, and they're able to construct a picture, and a high-definition picture. I'm not sure what these broadcast signals. So why in heck do they have to broadcast 2,000 microwatts per square meter from something at ground level throughout the whole grid of the city or the whole state of California or wherever they're doing it?
Mm-hmm.
It's this reeks of trying to cook everybody alive, cook the brains, cook the kidneys, cook whatever. And it's nonsense to have that strong of a signal. The original cell phones were 10 watts, and of course you burned out the batteries in two or three conversations. Now small cell phones are at 1 watt broadcast, and with the possibility of going to 1/10 of a watt fairly soon, because there is a technology for picking up really weak microwave signals. You only have to broadcast a fraction of what they're broadcasting.
They also don't need to keep repeating this signal.
No, it could do it every 6 hours.
Or not, 24 hours for that.
Yeah, 24 hours. Beginning reports, we have people in Canada here, and BC Hydro's hired university students, and they were driving around in vans, who go into a small community and change all the meters. They have like 1 week of training in what to do. Not hiring the regular maintenance people, the regular people who do this work in and around the communities. They're hiring somebody from outside to do it.
Why is that?
That we don't know. I think even the power company employees are upset about this. And even though they probably can't attend the meetings that are protesting the smart meters, they are probably very upset. We're also getting reports out of Ontario, just across the water from you, Don, that they already have had smart meters for some time, for a year or so, and their bills have tripled in many households.
But they've gotten away with that, haven't they?
Yes.
And now, has there been any dissension?
Yes, there's lots of dissension, lots and lots of people protesting, and whole communities are trying to opt out of the system. There's a meeting of all the communities in British Columbia, and the mayors of all the towns voted against this, but they're told by the minister who's in charge of it that, no, they're going to go in anyways. And the mayors are feeling pressure from their citizens.
Yeah, and this is unnecessary. I don't mean to cut you off, but we've got to take a break here. You're listening to Evident Footprints on the Micro Effect, and we'll be right back. And that is none other than Gino Vannelli and the Yellow Jackets. We're talking with our two guests, Ken Adachi, who's taking a breather at the moment, and G.S. Livingstone. We're talking about a number of issues, primarily the takeover of your household via the electric box and some of the anomalies that come with that. Now, I don't really want to spend too much more time on this topic. We could probably spend weeks, but there appears to be something in the works, and we're following that. I myself have contacted the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, and I've communicated to them about Ken's findings, ZS's findings, and my own interpretation of what's going on. And we're pretty much all three in agreement, although I think we hold different pieces of the puzzle. But I'm starting to see certain aspects of the covert control that has been portrayed and descended upon mankind, not just here in the United States, but previously, as ZS mentioned, in Canada, in Europe, in Japan, and really throughout the globe. This is an attempt to take over, and we will fight this. I will say that. ZS, welcome back to the show. Anything that
Thank you. Yeah, there's reports coming in from people who are opposing the smart meters, saying that they believe that the technology is already in place in some appliances, which are called Energy Star appliances, that the brownout situation and a signal goes out from those coordinating the power lines, they could ask your meter to turn off your dishwasher or your clothes washer or any other appliance in the house in order to prevent a brownout or blackout. It's all based on the premise that energy is going to be more limited in the future, and therefore more precious and more expensive. And also, it will, with other technologies like Jim Murray has been working on, and other many thousands of other people around the world in their garages and basements, over Unity energy systems, that if you disconnect from your meter and you're generating power in your house, they will know that you have an over Unity device in your house and might have send in the SWAT team to confiscate illegal equipment, which you built yourself to power your own toaster.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility.
Well, they're going to say illegal because they want you to use their equipment, see?
Yes.
It's just that. In fact, just the information that Ken brought forth certainly is not what's advertised.
No.
And I'm seeing that. You're seeing that. Go on, please. Go on.
Well, the actual broadcast strength from the smart meters might be the same as a cell phone, 1 watt. The meter which Ken was using was pegging over 2,000 microwatts right near the meter. Depending on how much metal there's and glass in the casing around the broadcasting, it is about the same as a cell phone. And what I was alluding to earlier is that there's technology now in place going back decades stating that we don't need to have such strong signal strength, 1 watt from cell phones. We can go to a tenth to a hundredth of a watt if we need that technology. And of course, there's other technology which goes back 100 years on radiant energy where we don't even need to send energy on the electromagnetic spectrum. We can send it on the radiant energy spectrum, etheric. And that's superluminal technology. And that's probably what the secret space program's using to communicate with its boys way out in another star systems.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you suppose would happen, let's say if I or you or Ken or any of our listening audience out there were to decide, hey, I'm opting out of the system. I'm devised means through which to produce power, if that means a generator. Certainly now the electric company doesn't play a role. What if I choose to give up television? And there's a lot of people out there cringing right now, I'm sure. You have to realize what's going on with your television set, really, to appreciate that, or any other appliance for that matter, any other mainstream appliance that we're using, or if they're adaptable to a power system that someone sets up independently. What is wrong with that?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it unless they deem that it's passed laws on it saying that you have to have our electricity, a dictator monopoly.
Mm-hmm. What if I choose not to use electricity whatsoever?
Just camping out in land, going back to kerosene lamps. That might, a lot of people who are survivalists might just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid all the electromagnetic radiation that's streaming in from all directions. There's a lot of people doing that right now.
Yeah.
Trying to camp out on land if they can find land to camp out on.
Mm-hmm. I can hear Ken wanting to say something.
Yeah, allow me to interject a thought and then ZS continue. A few months ago, I posted an article concerning the local L.A. municipal government group who were passing and insisting on onerous rules, laws, that apply to people who live in Antelope Valley, California. And in many cases, what they were doing, particularly the supervisor out there who's behind the whole show, was insisting that people meet certain simply unreasonable restrictions. And if they could not meet those restrictions and, quote, comply, they were essentially forced to dismantle their own homes, their own properties, and abandon their own land. Mind you, these people own the land. They own the houses and the structures that are on the land. And in one case, there's a fellow out there. There's YouTube videos linked to this on that article I put up. There's one fellow who, in all regards, had met all of these incredibly rigid and unreasonable code requirements that the city was posing on him. But what he was doing is that he had a completely self-sufficient solar electric system. They told him that if he did not pay to have the telephone poles installed and to pay to have electric wiring go to his house, and if he did not pay to have an electric meter installed, that he would be forced to move out of his property. Here you have government that has become so tyrannical that they're actually telling the guy, no, you cannot operate your house, your property, the house that you own, on the property that you own, with solar energy alone. To meet our rules, our building code rules, you must pay to have the electric lines brought into your house, and you must hook up to an electric meter. Otherwise, you can't live here, buddy. That's what the local government told him. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy, the blowhard in charge of this. He's a well-known guy. He's been calling himself Mayor Mike somebody. Is it Antonovich? Mike Antonovich?
Yeah, that's it. Antonovich,
okay. Yeah.
Wasn't he part of the city hall in Los Angeles?
Yeah, he's a supervisor, but he dubbed himself the mayor of that county there. He's not truly a mayor. He's a supervisor. His correct title is a supervisor, but he's anointed himself with this title, mayor of something or other, for the past 15 or 20 years. I mean, this type of blowhard, this type of completely self-serving politico who's completely in bed with corporate invested interests to screw and to simply dominate the lives of the people that he's supposed to be a servant to, simply infuriates me. A guy like Antonovich needs to be tarred and feathered and run out of town on a rail. Him and the whole crew of his type that have virtually taken over California. A government in California, state and municipal government in California, is the worst I've seen in anywhere in the country. I mean, not that it's paradise back in the Northeast, but here in California, I've never seen so many buffoons elected to political office. And the degree and severity of the abuse that citizens suffer at the hands of these clowns here amazes me. I just find it remarkable that you have one corrupt clown after another here who become governor, that Gray Davis was so outrageously corrupt, they ran him out of office with a special recall election, and who they bring in, that clown Schwarzenegger, you know, an illuminated muscle bag there.
And then they brought Jerry Brown.
8 years, and now we got another clown hack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disgusting. And the state government here in Sacramento, these guys, oh, my God. I've never seen such a debacle of putrid excuses for politicians as you have in California. People are leaving California big time. A lot of people are fleeing to other states where the treatment is not nearly as onerous here. And these idiots it'll come to pass that, you know, the income in this state is going to drop. The weather is lovely here. Police are hardly too heavy-handed in this state, and the politicians are just the pit. They can't get any worse than the clowns they've got running California.
Yeah. Well, I'm reminded of my three students go to Washington, parts 3 through 7B, which talk occasionally about California and what is going on there. And this was just part of, it's a microcosm of what's happening, but it deals exactly with the nature of the problem. I'm alerted to that. just from listening to you talk. I talked about this very thing from the early 1900s when Charles Reed Bishop left what became the Bank of Hawaii, and he sold that a pharmaceutical company. And that pharmaceutical company has been running the bank ever since then. We should have laws preventing that from happening, but that, of course, is not going to happen when you have crooks running everything. I encourage people, if you haven't read The Three Stooges Go to Washington, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and have at it. It's all panning out. It's all appearing true. And I'm just underscoring what Ken Adachi has just said. That's the main reason I bring that up. Ken, take a breath. Again, you're getting upset, and that's not why I have you on the show. Now, I know you're capable of handling, but you're telling the truth. ZS, any comment you want to make about what Ken said, or what anything you want to add to it? We've got to take a break in another minute and a half, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, British Columbia has got some clowns. The premier, equivalent to a governor of the province of British Columbia for the last 8-9 years, tried selling off the utilities to Accentura, which is actually Arthur Andersen, the same company that drove Enron into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would have had the company that brought Enron to ruin controlling our power utilities. That was disclosed by one of the representatives from Prince George, and he got booted out of the party, but he got the information out to the public, and the reaction back against the premier for that and other things is such that the premier actually had to resign.
It goes on and on. Well, let's take a break here. You're listening to Evident Footprints, and our two guests, Mr. Ken Adachi from educate-yourself.org and Zura Nova Star Livingstone, whose writings are featured there, and his work really travels around the world. We'll be back shortly. Don't go away. That goes on a little ways, but we've got more important business to talk about. Even the Pain, again, from the album Club Nocturne, which I'm featuring this evening. And the Yellow Jackets. Boy, talk about the truth. And that is a South African singer, believe it or not, singing the melody there. It's amazing that you can get people around the world to agree when it comes to music. But when it comes to politics, when it comes to banking, when it comes to oil companies, and everything corrupt in between, all they do is fight. All they do is fight. When will it stop? I have been in touch with the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, and I will do my part as my two guests, Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone, are doing. Welcome back to the show, gentlemen. Either one of you want to add anything to this topic before we move on to the final one?
Well, I just wanted to say very briefly that it's necessary to shield against the smart meter signal that's coming into the homes. I'll just very briefly state it here, and then I'll be writing an article with more details and photos so people can reference. I haven't decided on the title, but it'll say something about shielding against smart meter radiation or something like that.
Shouldn't they be called dumb meters, actually?
Well, yeah. So there's a couple easy ways, inexpensive and easy ways to do it quickly. So one is, I already mentioned, aluminum screening. Aluminum is not the best conductor in the world. Copper is a better conductor, but you can't find copper screening much today. And if you do find it, it's quite expensive. Aluminum, though, it has a higher resistance, but it's not much higher to current flow, and therefore it's a satisfactory material to use as a shield against RF energy. It's not a perfect shield. It's not 100%, but aluminum screening mesh is tight enough that you will capture the lion's share of that energy. And if you ground the shield, you will detour the energy into the ground, and it won't penetrate behind the meter. And when you are grounding a system like this, you want to use a relatively heavy, thick, branded cable copper is easily available. So use a minimum of number 12 stranded. Number 12 refers to the size of the copper wire. As the number gets lower, the copper wire diameter gets larger. So number 10 stranded is larger wire, and number 8 or number 6 stranded is even larger. Use at least minimum number 12 stranded. And if you can't find a cold water pipe to clamp to, a metal cold water pipe, which goes into the earth, then you could drive a copper rod at least 2 feet long directly into the earth and clamp your grounding cable to that, and then you attach your grounding cable very thoroughly with a very hard, strong, tight connection to your aluminum screening, and you'll be able to ground out most of the energy. Inside the house, shielding, and this not only applies to smart meter, but any microwave radiation. And it's particularly important for people who are victims of psychotronic electronic harassment. I find these ideas beneficial to you. Since you're being beamed, these people are so-called TIs, targeted individuals, are being beamed with very high frequency, usually microwave energy. In some cases, scalar energy, which is much harder to shield against. But in most cases, it's conventional transverse electromagnetic waves. If you shield yourself sufficiently, you'll cut down on that signal a great deal and enjoy more, have more peace. I was recently talking to a guy named Kevin who's a victim of psychotronic assault, harassment, and he told me in a conversation a month or two ago that he bought a material that has silver metal impregnated into a nylon backing. It's called Silverlon. You can get it from a company like LessEMF.com. They specialize in this material. However, it's quite expensive, even for a small amount piece of it. It works, so he bought a relatively small piece, but he got some coverage with it, but he's saving up his money to get a larger piece so he can cover his whole body at night and ground out this material so less of these microwaves get through and he can sleep better. But there's a cheaper alternative I recently discovered thanks to a friend of mine who tipped me to this. You can buy what's called a first aid thermal blanket, which is made out of a very thin sheet of mylar, which has an aluminum coating on one side of it. The aluminum is electroplated onto this thin layer of plastic called mylar. Mylar is a very strong plastic. It's very difficult to tear it or even to puncture it. So you can essentially get a wide aluminum piece of material that's 4.5 feet wide by about 7 feet long for about $3 or $4. Go into sporting goods stores, camping supply stores will have these, or probably even drug stores. They're often used for emergencies. Sometimes they're called emergency blankets, although it's not a thick material, but because it reflects heat back to the body, sometimes you see it in emergencies, people drowning victims or they're out in the cold, they put these shiny covers around them. And so you're looking at one of these so-called thermal blankets. They're not expensive at all. One side has aluminum coating on it. I took a DC resistance measurement on it, and it measured only 18 ohms from one corner to the opposite corner. Now, it'd be nice if it was only 1 or 2 ohms if it's made out of copper, but 18 ohms is very low resistance. So you can use it as a shield. You can ground it out, which do is you check if your electrical outlets in your home are correctly grounded. You need to get a little device at Lowe's or Ace Building Supply or Osh.
Even hardware. Yeah, the drugstores carry those.
Drugstore. It's a little device that's called a circuit tester. It's a little device that you plug into your grounded outlet and has 3 LEDs on it. The directions are on the unit, but when 2 of the LEDs are lit, the third one is not lit in the correct order. That tells you that that outlet is correctly wired. The hot lead and the neutral lead are connected to the correct sides of the plug, and also that the ground lead is actually grounded. In many cases, in certain houses, the person who installed the electric system is either not competent, not professional, and they didn't actually connect grounding wire to the ground lug. So have an outlet that has a grounded plug on it, but the ground is not actually connected to the ground.
Yeah, you'll see that in older systems for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So buy one of these little devices. They're They're all of $4 or $5. Plug it in to be sure your grounded outlet is truly grounded. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you establish that, you can take a grounded cord from an old piece of equipment that you're not using, and you can rip away the wires on the end, and the wire that's green will be the grounded wire. You take a hacksaw. You cut off two blades that normally plug into the hot and neutral sides of the outlet. Simply cut them off completely flush with the plug using a hacksaw blade. So the only thing left, your plug, is the grounding prong. Round grounding prong, the only thing left. You now attach an alligator clip to the green wire. You can cut back the other two if you wish, or leave them in place. They're not connected to anything. But the point is you attach your alligator clip to the green wire and then plug your round grounding prong into a grounded outlet. And now you attach your alligator clip to the aluminized emergency blanket that I just described. And one side of the clip will touch one side of the sheet, which has the aluminum on it. And the other side of the clip will touch the other side of the sheet, which only has plastic. So you can look at it, and if you look carefully, the shinier side of the sheet is the side with the aluminum on it. The other side is slightly duller. If you look hard, you can see there's a difference. But if you just put the alligator clip on the somewhere on the perimeter of the blanket so it touches both sides, you're covered. Plug it into your grounded outlet. Now that piece of aluminized Mylar is grounded. You could drape it on walls, block RF energy. You could put it on your bed. You could put it as a sheet that your body touches. You need to touch it somewhere with your skin, with your hands, with your feet to get the grounding effect. You could use two of them on your bed. You could put one below you. You could put another one above you. Again, have the aluminum touching your skin for the upper one and ground both of them in the way I described. Now you're sleeping in a grounded sandwich of aluminum foil. You can put a framework, if you're a victim of psychotronics, you could put a framework of wood or plastic around your head and drape another one of these thermal blanket, aluminized thermal blankets over that so it covers your head but still allows air in so you can breathe and so forth. Ground that too. You might find a big, you know, reduction in the microwave energy that you've been receiving, and you might get real relief here. So those are cheap ways, inexpensive ways to shield yourself from this RF energy. Any comments on this, Don?
Well, I was just going to say, if you're going to have sex, you might do it before you get into the blanket. But
yeah, and if you do it between the blanket, it reflects heat, so it's going to get a little warm there.
Just kidding.
Yeah. But I recently tried this myself. I used a meter. I put some of these thermal blankets. I connected the seams together so the aluminum touches aluminum very well, so there's a good contact. And I draped them across the wall, and I measured the RF energy on one side of the wall. I mean, it wasn't exceedingly high, but it's more than I wanted. And then I went on the other side of the wall. The energy had dropped down to 0.1. So I got like a 98% reduction in the RF energy coming through that wall. And yet I only paid $4 per sheet. As I told you, the sheets are 4 feet as wide by 7 feet long. It's a good deal. Aluminum foil, of course, is much thinner strips. It tears easily. It's problematic. But these aluminized Mylar, so-called emergency blankets, are inexpensive, yet they will do the job. Now, if you want to get productive, if you're a victim and you have signals coming in through your windows, through the ceiling, up through the floor, you can line an entire room, all four walls, ceiling, and the floor below you with these sheets of Mylar. You want to take the trouble to connect them all together, round out the whole system. Now you have a room that's lined with metal. It won't stop the energy 100%, but it'll cut it way down. And if you double them up 2, 3, you'll get even more shielding. This is a relatively inexpensive way to create a Faraday cage in a room that you want to
protect yourself.
Yeah, limit yourself from RF energy, and it might, you know, allow you to sleep and otherwise not be victimized by these transmissions. Anyone's getting RF energy can apply these ideas, not only for people who are trying to shield against smart meters.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to wrap up in another five and a half minutes. I want to give CS a chance to say something before I close the show. But I want to thank you for your patience and the sincerity and the amount of evidence that you have uncovered to support your claims, Ken.
Well, thanks, Don.
CS, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
We have and... with you asleep. Okay. Anything you'd like to add?
Building a Faraday cage, a very good idea. Yeah. I remember back in the 1960s in Vancouver, building a garage using aluminum up against the studs. And that was the recommended vapor barrier for that particular structure. And I was just back looking at that structure, and the loom is incorporated right into the 2x4s and walls. There's no cell phone coverage inside that building at all. The wood is in very good shape for a very wet climate. Vancouver's climate's like Seattle, rain every second day, and it's held up very, very well over 50 years. So Faraday cages of benefits in blocking off the electromagnetic smog. And also keeping the damp out.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone can look at one of the quick fixes like what Ken is talking about, or they can get into a more expensive version of it. We have a right to do this. This is, I think, a point that all of us would agree upon. And if they tell us, well, we can't do it, do you think that's going to stop anybody that really understands that this is a way to fight back? Your thoughts on that before we say goodnight.
I think a lot of people are going to fight back. Of course, it won't be 100%, but 20, 30% of people protecting themselves by building Faraday cages and other things, screens on the walls behind their smart meters, changing back to internet or Wi-Fi, those radiations coming through your house. Of course, you do not want to build a Faraday cage and put your Wi-Fi in the middle of your Faraday cage because it becomes a microwave oven. And so you have to train people not to radio wave generating equipment inside the Faraday cage.
You know, it boils down to people making a wise decision about their existence and how they choose to live. If you are the type of person that thrives upon entertainment from a variety of sources, probably none of this is for you. Go ahead and be entertained because it's the entertainment is one of the means through which all of this is carried out against. And it's sad to have to say that because I love sport. I love the idea of competition. But sports is no longer what it used to be 50 or 60 or 70 years ago. It's become something else. It's become a tool. It's become a diversion. And it's become a means through which to control the people. We're just about out of time. I want to thank you both for being on the air and dealing with these topics. We're going to cover this more next week, I'm sure. There's some strange things going on with the energies and between the 9th and the 11th of the month, which happens to be 11-11-11. We can anticipate something possibly happening. We can also anticipate putting a stop to it. So I want to thank you both, Ken Adachi and Yes Livingstone, for being on Evident Footprints. Have a great weekend. You ladies and gentlemen out there, have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing all of you again next Monday.